So please welcome Kirk Henning.
I had an experience that wanted to share with you that kind of ties in and that'll somehow arc its way back to the theme tonight and to have something to do with me as well. Last Friday, had the great pleasure, went to a San Francisco Giants game up at AT&T Park, and our seats were down the first base line. If you don't know a lot about baseball, forgive me. I'll explain as much as I can to help you understand. And when I bought the tickets, I didn't know who was pitching that night. Well, it turns out that they were playing the Dodgers, and it turns out that Clayton Kershaw was pitching that night for the Dodgers. Now, for those of you that don't know anything about baseball, Clayton Kershaw means absolutely nothing to you. But to fans like me, it's a real special occasion because he will probably be considered one of the greatest baseball pitchers ever. He's that good. And he's a left-hander. And when you're sitting down the first baseline and facing the pitcher, you're seeing him full on, as opposed to a right-hander, his back would be to us. But with a left-hander, he was facing us. And so I can watch him the entire night. Now, I'm an old pitcher from way back in Little League and high school and stuff like that. And so to have the occasion of watching somebody like Clayton Kershaw pitch was something special. I've been to a lot of baseball games in my life. Never have I experienced something like this. And this is why. Let me set it up a little bit. We got to the ballpark early. They do batting practice. They do warm-up, fielding practice, so on and so forth before the game starts. Both teams finished their batting practice, their warm-ups, and so on and so forth, and went back into their dugouts. And then Clayton Kershaw came out. We hadn't seen him yet, and he came out to do his warm-ups. He was all by himself. And he came right in front of where we were along the first baseline, where all the Dodgers fans were, by the way, too. So I think a little bit of this might have been planned. I don't know. Who knows? And so I watched him doing his warm-up. He began with stretches, about 20 minutes of stretches. And then after he did his stretches, I just saw him sit on the field by himself, cross-legged on the field with his head down. And he was down there for about probably a good 5 minutes. And then he got up, and then he started throwing. It was about a good half hour before he even threw the ball. And he did some long throws, and another 20 minutes later, he started doing his regular warm-up pitches. And then he started pitching in the game. Clayton Kershaw's windup, his motion that he goes through before he actually throws the ball, is one of the more unusual ones ever in baseball. He kind of has a weird little hitch and kind of starts off really slow. He starts off with his arms way above his head, and it's all very ballet-like up until he lets go of the ball, and then it's just an explosion. And he's also known as one of the best curveball pitchers. So he's got a great fastball, a great curveball, and he throws strikes. And I'm sitting there watching him pitch, just this masterful game. And every game he pitches is pretty much a masterful game, because he just throws strikes all the time. About halfway through the game, I looked at his pitch count, and they showed how many strikes he pitched and how many balls. Strikes, for that don't know, those don't know baseball, are better than balls. He doesn't throw the kind of strikes that Michael throws. He throws like real strikes right over the plate. Pinpoint accuracy. It's unbelievable. And so I was saying, I watched his pitch count. They break out the balls and strikes, and about halfway through the game, it was like 45 strikes and 4 balls he'd thrown. It's unbelievable. Now, when I was watching him, I noticed just his focus and his concentration. Let me come to that later. About halfway through the game, I thought, I wonder how much he makes per pitch. Because he's the highest paid pitcher in all of baseball. And so I happen to have a smartphone with me. You've heard of those before. Even those that don't know much about baseball. So I looked up how much this. At first, I guessed $100 a pitch. No, that's way too low. $1,000 a pitch. Looked it up. He makes $1,300 every time he throws the ball. When he pitches one game, he makes about $130,000. One game. Dang, I should have kept pitching. But I've heard this over and over again through playing baseball and hearing other top athletes that success is all about the mental game. You're successful when you have the mental game, the game between your ears down 99%. And the talent and the physicality is, excuse me, this is going in and out. The talent and physicality is about a 1%. And when I watch Clayton Kershaw, especially I realized that when he was sitting down on the field with his head down, I thought, he is telling himself a story in order to be successful. And the story he has to tell before he goes into the game is, I do this, this is what I do, this is my gift. And then when he's actually throwing the pitch, as all old pitchers know, you just have to empty your mind and just throw the ball, because if you start thinking about throwing a pitch, inevitably you're going to throw a ball. You just empty your mind. And it reminded me about how, at least for me, I tell myself stories. And I'm either trapped by those stories or freed by those stories in my life. And maybe it's both, really. But I remember when I was young, the story that I told myself was that I wasn't very smart. And I had some bad family stuff go on that just kind of reinforced the fact that I wasn't very smart. And so I thought, I told myself that story constantly. And so I was trapped by that story. And then there came a time when it got so bad that I needed to change something. And I needed to tell myself a different story. And I needed to figure out how to get out of the story I trapped myself into and free myself with another story that I told myself. And I remember a day I was in college, and I was struggling along, not doing so well. And it seems kind of silly now, but it was a real meaningful part of my life. It was one of the things where my life just pivoted 180 degrees. I was in the library, and I was going through books, just picking up books and scanning through them. And there was this one book, I can't even remember what it was, but there was one sentence in there that said that the smartest people in a lot of cultures are the ones that are good in math and science. That if you're that the ones that are especially skilled in math and science, those are looked upon as being the most intelligent. Now, I don't believe that at all, but I believed it then enough for me to just pivot my life around, because at that time I was taking just classes randomly and not really focused, and I decided that I was going to major in a science, in oceanography is what I turned into. And I'd already been in school 3 or 4 years, so it meant starting school all over again pretty much, and taking calculus and chemistry and all biology and all those classes. And as time went on, I just kept on telling myself that new story to myself, that I am smart, that I can do this. And I told it over and over again to myself until finally I believed it. And now I'm not smart in a way a lot of math and science people are smart. No, that's not my specialty. I watched the Tony Awards the other night and heard Lin Miranda, the guy who started that, came up with Hamilton, you can remember his third name. I saw him interviewed and he said, you know, I went to school, prep school, where there was all these smart kids, and I just felt I wasn't as smart as them. And I decided then that there's a path that I needed to take, and if I was really good about with that path and passionate about it, then I would have a line to success. And so that's what he did. And that's what I did too. I'm not the best at math and science type of stuff. It's part of what my career is, but I found a path in there and was passionate about it. And now I feel like every day I'm kind of like Clayton Kershaw sitting on the field with his head bent down, just emptying his mind, telling himself a good story about himself, and then going through the day, just emptying the mind, and then just releasing the ball. And that's my story. Thank you. Clayton Kershaw.